Jody Mitchell puts up a different kind of inspo in her Juno office.
Diesel emits 22.384 pounds of CO2 into the atmosphere.
I see that's on your computer on a sticky note.
Yeah, I write that there to remind myself every day of why we're doing this.
Mitchell is the CEO of the Inside Passage Electric Cooperative, a nonprofit that supplies energy to small Southeast communities. She says sometimes the only way to power remote Alaska is by burning diesel. And as her yellow sticky note attests, she thinks there's a better way.
If I could build a hydro project in each of those communities, even if it wouldn't cover the full load, at least they'd have some energy security.
But Mitchell says building a hydro project from scratch can be expensive, and the permitting can take a long time. About 3 years ago, Mitchell says the utility was getting close to completing a hydro project in Hoonah, and the village of Cake was next on the list. So they sent out a couple of engineers to scope it out.
I was surprised. I was shocked when they sent me the pictures. I was like, where are you? And they're like, we're at Gunnett Creek. There's a dam here already, Jody.
What the engineers discovered was a $12 million tank and dam that was supposed to be used for Cake's drinking water. Mitchell says it was built around 2006, using mostly federal funds, but its electric pumps made it too pricey for the village to operate. And what makes this unused dam special is it can generate electricity.
As far as I know, it's the lowest hanging fruit in the state, and perhaps even the nation.
The U.S. Department of Energy sees untapped potential nationwide for retrofitting non-power generating dams. Mitchell thinks this one could be done for about $6 million and would supply more than half of Cake's electricity. In the past, she says the utility would have relied on the Renewable Energy Fund, a state program. But because of Alaska's mega budget deficit, that funding has gone away. Loans aren't out of the question. Still, that's an expense that could be passed on to ratepayers, something that Mitchell says she doesn't want to do. So what options are left?
Most of the projects, or most of the grant funds that are available through the federal government, do not include hydro. And, you know, anyone who lives in Southeast Alaska thinks that that's completely bonkers.
Jeff Leahy, the Deputy Executive Director of the National Hydropower Association, says that's partly true, but it's more complicated.
Do people recognize that hydropower is a renewable resource? Yes, they do believe that at the federal level, but sometimes they have not included hydropower in the definition of renewable energy.
Leahy thinks that's why there aren't more federal grants for hydro projects. There isn't consistency across the different federal agencies. Senator Lisa Murkowski was working on a bill that would have made that definition more clear, potentially opening up more federal grants for hydro. But Congress ran out of time. And Leahy says, at least anecdotally, solar and wind seem to get all of the attention.
I think some of that comes back to the misconception that the real growth in renewables could only come from wind and solar technologies, and that hydro, the myth about hydro is that it was all built out and that there were no new opportunities available for growth.
Back at the office of the Inside Passage Electric Cooperative, Joni Mitchell reads me a letter.
Your project was not one of the highest ranked projects selected for funding at this time.
A rejection letter. It's from the United States Department of Agriculture, one of a handful of federal grant opportunities that includes hydro.
You know, I do a lot of crying when I'm alone because I want it so bad. I want so bad to help my people.
Mitchell still thinks Cake's best bet for cheaper electricity is retrofitting its existing dam. She'll try to reapply in the next grant cycle, but she'd like to see the floodgates opened on more federal funding. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins in Juneau.